Yo, what's good? It's Black Trey, and I got a show called Growing Up the Same with Jason Madison, where we talk to guests about their childhood memories that I'm sure everyone can relate to. You even get some life advice at the end. Our show has featured guests like Dom Kennedy, JJ Redick, Baron Davis, Brian Koppelman, Bomani Jones, Mina Kimes, and many more. Be sure to check us out on the Black Opinions Matter feed under the Count the Dings Network. Oh yeah, and don't forget to tell a friend to tell a friend to subscribe, rate, and review.
And also subscribe, rate, and review to the separate Growing Up the Same feed.
Hi everyone, Tim Kitzer here from NBA Jam and NFL Blitz. And you're listening to Growing Up the Same with Trayvon Edwards and Jason Madison. Boom shakalaka. And now here's your starting lineup. Trayvon Edwards, Jason Madison. Boom shakalaka.
And today we have a special guest. We have Dan Perlman. What's going on, Dan?
How you doing, man?
Good. I'm good, man. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Dan Perlman is a comedian, writer, and director from New York City. He's the executive producer, co-creator, and star of Showtime's newest dark comedy, Flatbush Misdemeanors, which premiered on May 23rd behind tentpoles Black Monday in the Shy, co-created and written with Kevin Iso.
And now it's time for the one or the two with Jay Skills.
Flatbush or Bushwick?
Flatbush.
Bigger and Blacker or I Might Need Security?
Bigger and Blacker.
Killing Them Softly or Raw?
Killing Them Softly.
Elephant in the Room or Pimp Chronicles Part 1?
Pimp Chronicles.
Ace Ventura or Happy Gilmore?
Happy Gilmore.
Old School or Wedding Crashers?
Old School.
Miami Vice or 48 Hours?
48 Hours.
Bad Boys or Lethal Weapon?
Bad Boys.
Dumb and Dumber or Scary Movie?
Dumb and Dumber.
Men in Black or Rush Hour?
Rush Hour.
George Clooney or Brad Pitt?
I'll go Brad Pitt.
Denzel or DiCaprio?
I'll go Denzel.
LeBron or KD?
LeBron.
Shaq or Chuck?
Shaq.
Double Dragon or Darkwing Duck?
Double Dragon.
Freakazoid or Earthworm Jim?
Freakazoid.
Hey Arnold or Dexter's Laboratory?
Hey Arnold, easy.
Daria or King of the Hill?
King of the Hill.
Celebrity Deathmatch or Street Sharks?
Street Sharks.
Reboot or the Magic School Bus?
Magic School Bus. It was Frizzle.
Knicks or Nets?
Knicks.
Giants or Jets?
Jets.
Jay Williams on Twitter or Robert Griffin III on Twitter?
Man, I haven't seen either of their Twitters, honestly, but I'll assume Jay Williams is good.
You should check in on both of them.
I'll follow both.
Claiming you got hacked or deleting your account?
Always delete.
Tony Gwynn or Larry Walker?
Tony Gwynn.
The Big Hurt or the Big Cat?
Big Hurt.
The Big Unit or Big Poppy?
My Big Unit.
Chappelle Show season 1 or season 2?
I'm trying to remember which sketches were in which season. I guess season 1. I'll go season 1.
Yeah, season 1 had
Clayton. Came out the gate real hot with the
Yeah. Season 2 had Rick James and, you know, the Puffy.
The All that shit is hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're both pretty crazy. Yeah.
Would you rather have allergies or a headache?
I guess I'd rather deal with a headache.
Hot or cold sandwich?
Hot, for sure.
Wheat or white toast?
White.
Scorsese or Spielberg?
Scorsese.
Pat Riley or Phil Jackson?
They both fucked the Knicks over. I'll go Phil, though.
I didn't actually think about that aspect when I wrote that.
They fucked them over in different ways. Yeah.
Playoff P or pandemic P?
pandemic P is more fun to laugh at, so I'll go that one.
Fried chicken or barbecue chicken?
Barbecue.
Lil Wayne in the 2000s or Drake in the 2010s?
Lil Wayne.
Bow Wow or Soulja Boy?
Bow Wow.
Mos Def or Talib Kweli?
Talib Kweli.
Volume 2, Hard Knock Life or Blueprint 2?
Hard Knock Life.
Yeezus or 808s?
Yeezus.
When wearing sandals, do you split your toes or not split?
Option C, I don't wear sandals.
Okay.
As the first time I had the box on the choices, but I got to be honest.
Listen, you always can answer outside the box.
I got to be truthful, yeah.
So when you hit the beach, you wearing tennis shoes?
Man, I'm from New York, so I'm not going to the beach.
You're not going to Jones Beach?
Man, I'll go with my sneakers and I'll just take my shoes off and I'll just walk barefoot.
There you go. Diplomats or G-Unit?
G-Unit.
Lil' Kim or Foxy Brown?
Foxy Brown.
Fabulous or AZ?
Fabulous.
Shock G or Guru?
Guru.
Welcome to the Party or Dior?
Welcome to the Party.
50s beef with Cameron or 50s beef with Rick Ross?
Rick Ross. That's more fun.
Miami or Atlanta?
You know, it's going to be crazy, but I've never been to Miami, so I got to go Atlanta.
I've never been to Miami either, so don't feel really bad. Yeah.
Neither one of you have ever been to Miami?
Nah, me and Dan might have to take a trip.
I'm like, maybe I've been to Florida. I'm trying to think. It's like, I don't think I've been to Florida.
I've been to Florida. I've been to Naples. That's the only place.
Yeah.
And it was like mad old people, and I was like playing in a college basketball.
Yeah, that's why would you go to Naples?
Yeah, we just had it. We had a game.
Okay, yeah.
Florida is its own world, man.
I gotta go to spring training. I gotta go to Miami. I gotta make the rounds.
All right. Joe Girardi or Joe Torre?
Oh, Joe Torre. I mean, I grew up with Torre, so.
Bernie Williams or Jorge Posada?
I love Bernie. He played classical guitar and stuff. He was cool. Yeah. He did it all.
Yeah. iPhone or Android. On silent or vibrate?
iPhone, silent. To ignore it, you miss the call, that's the way to do it. You got to be too busy.
Stand-up comedy or comedic acting?
Stand-up.
Selling out a show or having a hit show?
A hit show.
Being recognized or appreciated?
Appreciated.
That's the one of the two.
You know what I hate? After a long day of work, dealing with people, being stressed, got to figure out what to eat that night. I don't feel like cooking, but I don't want to eat something that's bad for me like junk food. I want something healthy. I want to eat something that tastes good, and I don't want to work too hard or pay too much to do it. Well, guess what? What you really want, if you're like me, is Freshly. That's right. Freshly offers chef-made, nutrient-packed, delicious meals delivered fresh to your door. No cooking required. Grocery shopping and cooking can be a pain, especially right now. And with Freshly, you don't have to. Your meals arrive cooked and fresh every week, so you can keep your fridge stocked and skip the trip to the store. Ordering is easy. All you got to do is visit Freshly.com and choose from over 30 delicious, satisfying, better-for-you meals like steak peppercorn, sausage baked penne, or their chicken pesto bowl. I love Freshly can fit your lifestyle with a variety of plans and meals to pick from that work for your dietary needs, preferences, tastes, and family size. Now our listeners can try Freshly for just $6.16 per meal. Stop searching the internet for healthy food near me every night and start living life Freshly. Your meals are always delivered fresh, never frozen, and are ready to heat and enjoy in just 3 minutes. With new meals added each week, Freshly brings the convenience of chef-made, nutritionist-designed classics right to your kitchen. Right now, Freshly is offering our listeners $40 off your first two orders when you go to freshly.com/BOM. Stop stressing about dinner. Go to freshly.com/BOM for $40 off your first two orders. That's freshly.com/BOM for $40 off your first two orders. Do yourself a favor. Get Freshly.
I do all right. I wish I knew how you guys voted on some of those.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, there's no right or wrongs. I think it's always the listeners that normally have the feedback like, what? You chose that over that. You know what I mean? Like, that's what you're going to have to deal with after. You know what I mean? Like, the people that really like rock with it or follow.
Yeah.
And sometimes people. Were you just
saying, I'm an impartial judge. You know, I just ask the questions. I'm not here to place too much judgment, unless it's like a specific team or person that I feel like very strongly about.
Totally absurd. But,
yeah. Sure.
Are you in LA, Jason, or you're just?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm born and raised in LA.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. We're like doing the cross country thing right now. So it's been cool. It's like long distance dating, but like long distance potting. So we just meet up once a week and
chat. Either one's about communication.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. All right. So we're going to jump right into things. What was young Dan's connection to basketball?
I love that. That was, aside from comedy, that was the only like dream I had, was to be in the NBA. And then it was just like, I just loved, I loved playing it. I loved, I would get those sports cards as a kid. There was this, it was like Alex's card store where you'd go. It was like near my house on like, I want to say like 103rd Street or something. And you could just go and get all these like basketball cards, and I would collect them. I'd put them in the laminated thing. And I played in like a youth league when I was like, I don't know, 6 years old, 7 years old. And it was like a big deal to me when I could like make a three, you know. I was just very excited, I remember. And I just loved it so much. I remember being like 7 years old and watching the NBA and just like, and like, yeah, I'd get all the cards. So I would try to like separate them by team and try to learn all the players and stuff. And like Atlanta Hawks, I remember thinking they were cool because they had Mookie Blaylock, which I thought was the coolest name. And they had Steve Smith and Mutombo. And then the Knicks were good back then. It was like late Ewing era and Allen Houston, those guys. But yeah, I just loved it. I remember being like seven and I went to the doctor and he's like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I was like, I want to be in the NBA. And he like looked at my chart and he was like, you're going to be too short. And I cried and I cried and I cried.
Yo, I don't like the doctor being a dream killer in this story.
Like, yo, I would have found that out. You know what right. I mean?
Yeah, just like, let me found out on the hard way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would have just, I should have like gotten older and then gotten cut freshman year like the rest of them. I didn't
know. So when he told you that, you completely stopped?
No, I didn't stop.
Oh, I was like, yo, that's crazy.
No, I went into denial about it and I looked up, and then the next year I was like, you know, Muggsy Bogues is in the league and he's 5'3", and he's like, what are you talking about? Like, he didn't remember.
Yeah.
Like 8 years old of like proving a point.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had no recollection of that conversation.
Yeah, whatsoever. He had no memory of anything. I was like, Spud,
that's a funny ass debate.
Dunk contest. He was like, what are, who is this kid?
Yeah, that's a funny ass debate to bring up short players, to like put your argument of you're going to prove him wrong.
I just like put all, I was like, you don't even know Nate Tiny Archibald, I bet. And he was like, no, I don't. What?
So I have a co-worker. Oh, go ahead. He said, how tall are you now?
I'm 5'8".
Okay.
Yeah.
I have this co-worker I work with, and he was telling me this story about how the kids on the playground called him Hot Pocket.
Uh-huh.
And that was his basketball nickname. Did you have a basketball nickname growing up?
I had a coach who called me G Money because I was money from long range, and he thought my name was Greg. He didn't remember what my name was.
So you never corrected him. You just let him ride out with Greg.
Cool nickname, and you don't want to tamper with it because it's like, what if he doesn't?
Yeah, you can't mess up with G Money. That's
with G Money.
Can we have G Money written into the next season or something? We got to have a G Money. Totally. That's just you know what I mean. The guy that's just go hoop it out.
I'm gonna change my Skype name right now.
So there you go. Just be G Money, man. Yeah. What's Young Dan's connection with stand up?
That was after I found out about, you know, the hype mandate, or that it was recommended. No, I just I loved stand. I just remember getting the CDs as a kid and just loving it. I would just listen to everybody. I listened to like Cosby and Seinfeld and Chris Rock and Chappelle and you know, just really like anybody I could hear. Carlin. All these guys, and I would like write letters to comedians because there was this book I got as a kid, and it was called Baseball Letters, and it was like this guy Seth Swirsky. He like wrote all these letters to like different baseball players. So like he wrote to like, you know, he wrote to Hank Aaron, and he wrote to Bill Buckner, and he wrote to, and he asked them all specific questions about, you know, their careers or whatever, or baseball in general. And so I was like, oh, I like comedy. I was like 11 or 12, so I'll do that with comedians. And so I wrote all these letters asking, like, my basic question was like, how do you do stand-up or whatever, but I felt like I had to ask them all a different question because I thought they all knew each other, you know, and I was like, oh, they're gonna think I'm like,
no, and they would get your letter and be like, hey, did he ask you this question? Like,
wait, you asked the same thing you asked Robin Williams or whatever, you know? I just didn't know. So I asked them all a different question, and some wrote back. Chris Rock sent back an autographed photo and stuff, and some other people.
Oh, that's dope.
Larry David answered, but yeah, so I always loved, I would go to comedy clubs as a kid, and it was just, I would like write little jokes in my notebook, and it was just scared. I was, you know, I was very shy as a kid, and I was very like introverted. And so it wasn't until I went to college in Chicago when I was like 18 that I then went into Chicago, because I felt like, I'm not in New York, nobody knows me here, I'm just going to go up, no one's going to know me, I can just go up and bomb, and I won't know anybody. There's no risk of knowing anybody, and I can just go try it, you know? So that's when I felt comfortable actually doing it.
Squeaky doors, clogged sinks, finicky engines. When things break down around the house, you take care of it. However, when something's off in the bedroom, you just try not to think about it. Nothing, I was just tired. I'm just stressed a little bit. Come on, man. What are you waiting for? Take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/BOM now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/BOM and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to go to GetRoman.com/BOM now. And if you do, you'll get $15 off your first month. It's really time to take care of your ED. And remember, if you get started today, you'll save $15 on your first order of ED treatment.
You knew who Larry David was, like, before?
No, Curb was on. I knew. Curb was on? Yeah, Curb was on. So I watched that, and I was like, oh, shit. That's
okay.
And Seinfeld, you know, but Larry David did, I guess, yeah.
That's right. Crazy. I tried to do stand-up comedy 2018. That shit's hard as hell.
You go to a mic?
Dude, I was at the Hollywood Improv.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, like it was like open night, you know, and I just was like trying to do some face value shit. And I know I wasn't a comedian, but like obviously how we do our basketball podcast, sometimes we have like comedic punchlines and stuff.
Sure.
And, you know, people kind of gas us up all the time. Like, yo, you're funny. I've heard that I've been funny, but like stand up funny is way differently than just saying something, writing something up on Twitter, you know?
It's so different. Cause it's like, I mean, like the reason your friends make you laugh the most is because you have all this context built in, you know where they're coming from and you know their sensibilities and you just have, you know, months, years of just like what makes the other person laugh. And stand up, you're just like, you have to build that funny just in a vacuum, like from nothing, especially if they haven't heard of you before, you know, if they're already a fan, they're a little bit on board from the beginning, but otherwise it's like in a vacuum, be funny. And that's like really hard to build in that context, you know?
Also develop that flow. Like the thing is trying to get up there and say and start a joke or, you know, kind of like, because I was in my head at first, I'm up there like, oh shit, okay, what do I say? How do I start this up? You know, da da da. And I'm like trying to imitate any stand-ups I've seen in the past and trying to get that type of flow. And by then, it was like my time was up. I probably made like three people laugh and that shit. But like, I was like, yo, I'm never doing this shit again. And if anybody ever says that I'm funny, I'm like, I'm not.
It's like rapping, though. It's like rapping. You know what I'm saying? I remember I used to carry around that Chris Rock Bigger and Blacker CD. And I would listen to it like a rap CD. And like, I never really did. I never really looked at comedy like that before I had that CD. And then like when I would see them perform and then I started rapping and performing, I noticed it seemed like they were working the same muscles, because it's like, you got to have a punchline. You got to come out with a certain persona, whoever you are, you know what I'm saying? Whether you're Robin Williams, Rodney Dangerfield, Chris Rock, Cat Williams, like when you hit the stage, people have to feel your energy almost before you even say a word. And then you have to kind of fulfill that persona through whatever you're saying. And then you have to have your flow, your rhythm to your jokes and all that, the same way if Biggie or Jay-Z was up there rapping. It's kind of the same type of energy.
And to acknowledge, and also to acknowledge the environment also, which is what all the best live performers do. Like that Bernie Mac, the I Ain't Scared of You Motherfuckers set that on Def Jam, like, which is probably the best TV set of all time. And it's not because like the jokes are the best jokes, but it's because everyone else that night bombed and he got up there at the end. And I think he'd never been on TV before. And he came out there with all the confidence in the world and acknowledged what no one else had acknowledged. And he's like, I know the energy you are all bringing and I'm not afraid of it. And that was what they needed. They needed that persona and that confidence. And the fact that he was willing to like look at them and say like, I'm not just going to like go on autopilot and just like book report style, recite all my jokes. I'm like here with you and I'm going to like make this a fun time. It's like, I mean, I've watched that set so many times because it's insane how funny he is. He gets like three applause breaks in the first 90 seconds, and not applause breaks like we agree with the political point you're making, like we're laughing so hard we're clapping now to like show our appreciation in a different way kind of thing. It's crazy how good that
is. I was listening to this podcast actually with Marc Maron and Jim Carrey, and they were talking about that as well in relation to sports, in relation to like Michael Jordan. And like I was telling Trey and like a lot of people, my favorite thing I got from The Last Dance was they were saying the thing that separated Michael Jordan from everybody else in the world, you know, obviously in basketball ever, is that he was always present in the moment, you know, and that's, like there's a bunch of 6'6 dudes who can shoot. And, you know, you mentioned Allen Houston. There's a bunch of people who have that skill set. I forgot who just said recently. Steve Kerr just said recently that KD is more gifted than Michael Jordan, which I agree with. Like, I think that's true, but nobody has that mental capacity of what Michael Jordan had to, like, and I'm present in this moment and I'm going to take over this moment. I don't care what else is going on.
Right. And it doesn't, it's because it's like, the talented thing, and it's like, you know, we talk about being funny or whatever, and it's like a lot of people are funny, or you get to the NBA and you're like, oh, that's a talented player. It's like, they're all talented. They were all the best in their class, the best in their state, every one of them. But then you get to, it's like, oh, who can adjust? And they're talking about this with Ty Lue right now. Why are the Clippers still around? It's because Ty Lue can make adjustments. He can see this shit is not working and change it up and not be afraid to like experiment, which you have to do all the time in stand-up. Like, I'll be on stage and there'll be like a bit that like, oh, ordinarily this might get the biggest reaction, but you start it and you're like, oh, but this crowd is not going to dig this. And if they're not liking this, they're not going to like the second and third thing that are related to this. So I got to pivot now and go to this kind of shit, you know, because it's like, and that's just reading that moment and also not being afraid to like, to exactly what you're saying, to like be present and adjust. They're not feeling it. So you just have awareness, you know, and you shift it around. But that takes years, and also is a thing that even sometimes knowing it, you still fuck up, you know?
Right. You don't win every game.
Yeah. Nah, yeah. You're like, all right, I read that wrong. You take a shot and you're like, I know that's a bad shot, but I took it, you know?
Yeah. Who's your favorite comedian of all time?
I don't know. The one who jumps out who isn't like an all-time person, like I guess the ones that jump out are like Carlin and Chris Rock are the two that sort of jump out. But the one who I love who maybe doesn't get as much attention was this guy Greg Giraldo, who was like more known from like the Comedy Central roasts. But if you actually watch his stand-up, and I know from just going to like the Comedy Cellar as a kid, and he died maybe a year before Patrice did. And then there was a lot of like love and stuff when Patrice O'Neill died, but I thought maybe not enough when this dude Greg Giraldo died. And he was a New York guy, he was from Queens, and he was so funny, and he was able to just be like super smart but also accessible, not smart in a way where you felt like talked down to or preached at, but smart, accessible, like able to talk about like politics and social stuff and personal shit, but all in a way where you felt like, and it was very fast, it was just like super funny and original. He's a guy,
I know who Greg Giraldo is. He's kind of like a guy, like the smart guy you meet in a bar type of intelligent. You know what I'm saying? Not too smart, but like smart enough where you're like, oh, this guy's kind of smart.
That's a good point. Yeah. Like he would talk about like, you know, a bit about Civil War letters or whatever. He would talk about like, you know, the term like humbling that people always say, like, you know, it was like Supreme Court Justice that Sotomayor, she said getting named to the Supreme Court was the most humbling experience of her life. And he's like, people always say that word when it doesn't make sense. Like having the president call you and ask you to be on a Supreme Court, like that's a real kick in the teeth. It's like, why don't you just shit down my throat, Mr. President, you know? And he's like, this hot girl like came up to me in a bar and gave me her business card and told me to call her. And when I looked at the card later, it said escort. And he's like, that was humbling. He's like, for a couple of reasons. One, she's obviously not that into me. And two, she has a business card and I don't. Like, what kind of career-oriented prostitute is this? So he's just able to like take these bits and just go a little further with them. That dude was super funny. But also able to adjust, like we were saying. Like in his special, people should look up when a Jamaican dude fell asleep in the third row, like at his Comedy Central hour special taping, and he just veered off and did 3 minutes talking about a guy who literally just fell asleep at his TV taping, and it's like maybe the funniest part of the special.
Yeah, I think his thing was like he was a little bit too much of like a second or third banana.
Yeah,
like other comedians, and
sure,
you know, obviously his personality wasn't really that gregarious either. Right. So, you know, he didn't really have that temperament that would make him a standout in a lot of ways. But in a weird way though, I think he kind of would have fared a lot better in this scenario with the streaming, you know, world, and just with all the shows that are being kind of afforded to comedians and people like, you know, who have his temperament. I think he would probably would have done really well right now.
Yeah, it's a shame. He was a funny dude.
Yeah, for sure.
What is Young Dan's connection to cartoons?
I just loved, you mentioned Hey Arnold in one of the one or two, but that was my favorite. And that one, both Kevin and I have talked about being like in some way an inspiration for
Arnold and Gerald.
Yeah. Not even the two characters, but the fact that it was a like neighborhood and it was a community and yeah, I loved cartoons because it was just like they just had a different feel or pace. And I loved they felt very alive in a way that maybe sitcoms that we grew up on with like more multicam, one living room set. That's all. But we loved Hey Arnold, and it had like a very melancholy feel. And it was also cool that it would just like, they'd take a character that, you know, it would be like Mr. Wynn, the guy who they, the neighbor in the boarding house who they use for like one joke about his accent. And then all of a sudden the Christmas special, it's all about this guy. And they get into a backstory about his daughter and his background and like war or whatever. And it's all, every time that you see a new character, every time you see a character a second time, you learn something new about them, which is really cool. And that we tried to do that with Flatbush also.
Yeah, I see. I love that Stoop Kid is getting his flowers in 2021. Everybody wants to be Stoop Kid.
Love Stoop Kid, man. Stoop Kid's afraid to leave his stoop. But all that stuff, it's like about broader issues. There was Pigeon Man. There were like a lot of these like little characters that were, you're like, oh, that's some like, it's heady shit that being packaged in a fun way, which is my favorite stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Harlan does that also. It's like, you know, he does a bit like a place for my stuff. And like the message of that bit is like, fuck consumerism, but he's not screaming that. He's packaging it in a fun, silly way. And that's what the best cartoons or anything does, I think.
Yeah. I actually used to like to draw Arnold all the time.
Really?
Yeah. I had it down pack. It was like easy. I would just always think that he swallowed a football and that just became his head. But then like, obviously, I thought the 90s cartoons was kind of racist though, because they just made all, they had one prototype for one black kid. So like it's Vinny from Recess and then Gerald, and they just had the high top curly hair. And I was like, just did this kid just graduate to other like cartoons, you know, and just like, all right, we're just gonna pack it in. But it was cool. I mean,
they're all a version of Skeeter.
Yeah, pretty much, dude. Like when you really think about it, I mean, like,
yeah, they were all Skeeter prototypes. Yeah.
It was this thing on Twitter where a lady said, you should be able to, you should ghost out, you should as your children should be out like doing more meaningful things than watching TV because they'll never remember it. And I just spazzed on this lady because I'm like, bullshit. When I was in third and fourth grade, I would go home, rushing home to see Power Rangers and VR Troopers back to back.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yo, that was like the best memories of all time. Or like, you know what I'm saying? Like seeing shit like that. And
you learn. I mean, it's so important.
Beetleborgs. Like you can go down the line. That shit just like still hits to this day.
Bro, like the Simpsons raised me. And like some of my best in jokes with, you know, lifelong friends are Simpsons episodes that we recall, you know what I'm saying, 25 years later.
Right.
So it's like, yeah.
I remember going to friends' houses and you watch that shit. I mean, it's so important. And we pretend like it doesn't matter or whatever, you know, but like that shit we watched at that age, it's like it forms us so much. It forms what we value. It forms so much, you know? It's crazy.
I mean, this might be a high ass question, but why was Sonic the Hedgehog eating a chili dog, and then he was voiced by Jaleel White? You know what I mean? Like
Jaleel White?
Yes, the UPN version.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and the only reason why I used to get to watch that is only time I got to see that is when I faked I was sick. And it don't. That was the last cartoon that aired from 8:30 to 9, and then the soap opera and the talk shows would come on. Right. And it's like, fuck, why did I miss school? I know it's dope at school just to watch this one little episode and talk about it at school tomorrow. And then I don't get till 2:30 where Reading Rainbow comes on. And then we get 3 o'clock run.
It's a huge bummer when you fake sick and stay home, because you think you get to watch good shit all day. And it's pre-DVR, Roku, anything. So you're just stuck with it. And you're just like, the price is right. What the fuck is this?
I would watch The Price is Right knowing how bad the rest of the television for the rest of the day
was. That's the best.
Like, I would low-key be excited. Like,
yeah, no, Price is Right was kind of fire.
I'm not gonna lie. I was like, once this is over, it's bad. It's going downhill. I got to find something to do.
It's all Young and the Restless.
Young and the Restless, bro.
Yeah.
And you can't even go outside and play basketball.
And that's a crazy rollout. We really did grow up.
Yeah,
that's a crazy rollout right there, because you know nobody at home, everybody at the crib, you with your parents, and they're gonna give you the same bullshit saltine crackers and Campbell noodle soup with a 7-Up. Like, we all grew up the same. Like, that shit was going to fix everything. And then all of a sudden, you feeling better by 3 o'clock when the real cartoon's coming back.
Right. You're stuck until, which is after school anyway.
So yes. That shit crazy. I always be thinking about that.
For school is that at that time, which is that there's nothing good on until after school anyway.
So I'm sure the public school system had like an agreement, like, yo, we gonna air this shit during this time. No cartoons during school hours.
You cannot compete with Simpsons and Futurama. You gotta save that shit for 5 o'clock. Five o'clock, you can start that stuff, but you can't give us that competition. You know.
Did you watch the PJs?
I watched the PJs. Yeah, I heard like a crazy story because I did one animated pilot for Fox, and I heard one crazy story about the PJs that, like, because it was claymation, right? Mm-hmm. And they got Eddie Murphy, and they were lucky to get Eddie Murphy because I guess he didn't particularly want to do it. And I guess they would send, you know, the scripts and stuff to whatever movie trailer he was on for whatever, you know, big movie he's making, and he would read the script, and if he got to a page or a scene he didn't like, he just wouldn't read it, and they would send it back, and then they'd take all the clay they made for that scene. They're like, all right, I guess
they just gotta scrap it. That's crazy.
Scrap it. Yeah, there was just shit they had to just skip because they're just like, well, he didn't read it, so what do we do?
That reminds me of when Wesley Snipes was like not fucking with the production team for Blade, and he wouldn't open his eyes, and he had the CGI and shit. That's crazy.
They CGI'd his eyes open?
CGI'd his eyes. Look up that story. They CGI'd his eyes, and his eyes are just wandering, but his eyes are closed. He refused to open his eyes because he was pissed off at the production team.
That is crazy. I love that shit.
I couldn't believe that shit. I said, wow, Wes, you was on that? You was on that? You wouldn't open your eyes the entire day. Like,
crazy, man. Especially when you find out. When you like see when you're on a set and then you realize like how little the crew gets paid and how many hours they work and stuff, and then you're going to refuse to open your eyes. I mean, I always think about that. Like you mentioned Jim Carrey, Jason, but like I saw that thing Jim and Andy, which is on Netflix. It's like about Jim Carrey playing
Andy Kaufman,
and like you watch it, and part of you is like, wow, he really immersed in this role. Like it's like a great acting performance because he just became this guy. But then you also watch it and you're like, man, he's like kind of being a dick, you know, like he's just a little bit acting
he's laying it on a little thick, right?
And then just using it to be a dick to other people, which you kind of only hear about when like people only immerse in these roles when it's for an asshole, you know, like you don't really
right. They never. You never hear
Ben Kingsley like, became Gandhi. He couldn't.
Tom Hanks really. He got into the Mr. Rogers role. He sunk his teeth into that.
Right. Always right. It's always just like he just became Mussolini. It's like we didn't have to.
Yeah, no, that's hilarious. So out of all the comedians that like you've either done stand up with or worked with or met, like who would you say is the funniest in person?
Oh, that's a good question. Oh man, I don't know.
I'll say for me real quick, just because when we were talking about film sets, it made me think of it. I was working as like a PA, like I don't know, it's probably damn near 20 years ago. I'm aging myself. I was like 16 or something, and Tom Arnold was in the movie, and he. I mean, I don't know what combination of drugs he was on at the time, like all day, but he was just nonstop, like hilarious, just on set. You know, he's one of those people ad-libs every take.
Everything
he says when the camera's not rolling is funny. And he's just rolling. You know what I'm saying? Just nonstop. And I was like, man, this dude is a lot funnier than I expected.
Yeah. I mean, the ability to just like roll and improv and shit. I mean, we were talking about before we started, but Yamanika Saunders, who's in the next episode of Flatbush, and she plays my therapist. She went the most off script of anyone and had the whole crew like in tears. That's the most anyone laughed on set, and the most I've laughed, you know, and I don't even know how long, is her just ability to go off and berate me. And she called me a reverse leprechaun who only brings bad luck. And just like every sort of insult she had for me was just so fun. Like it was like unreal. And it was unreal how she had everyone laughing and how composed she stayed.
Yeah.
And able to just stay and just keep like just bodying just nailing it. more jokes, more insults. The meaner she was to me, the funnier it got. She's next level.
Yeah, some people are really good at that.
In the last hobby, what was your connection with baseball?
I played Little League. I remember we played and again, it was these baseball cards that kind of helped me get into it. I remember I went to buy basketball cards and I kept buying them. The guy's like, I have this like box of baseball cards that nobody wants if you want it. And I was like, okay. And he kind of just gave it to me. And that was weirdly like how I got it, because then I started learning the players and stuff. And then I did Little League. And I remember we used to play in Central Park. And then people kept, I think some of our water coolers and gloves were getting stolen. So then we moved to Randall's Island and started playing there, which if you're not from New York, then Randall's Island, you see it in a scene in Big Daddy when Adam Sandler teaches the kid how to piss outside. They're on Randall's Island. That's the famous scene in a movie with it. But I just loved it. It was just, that was like, as someone who didn't really want to do like camp or whatever, but needed to get outside. That was the thing. And as an adult, I haven't really, I sort of fell out of it. Basketball is the only sport I'll sort of follow day to day. But as a kid, I just loved playing, and it's also the most maybe like fun or like relaxing game to like go and watch, because it's just like a sort of chill vibe. But yeah, I don't know. There's just something very peaceful about it. And that's how I associate most summers, with just going and playing two games a day.
And for our last question, what advice would you give 8-year-old Dan or G-Money? G-Money.
Just stay Greg, you know? I think I was probably way more pessimistic then, and thought, you know, things would stay sad. I was also, all these interests I had, I was like very quiet about my interest in comedy and shit, because I didn't think I could do it. So too long a place. So when I see younger people and they're like very open and like steadfast about what their dreams or ambitions are, I like respect that and think that's cool. So I would tell him and anyone who's younger who has some ambition that it's a cool thing to, whatever your ambition is, to pursue that and to not be afraid to be open about that. I think there's something like, people will always kind of, it's very easy to tell someone, it's very scary to tell someone I want to do something, but it's easier to just say I'm doing this, because then people don't have a chance to tell you, well, you can't do that, you know? But if you just say you're doing it, then you're doing it, and everyone kind of accepts that. So I would encourage that to young G Money and anyone else.
How's the young G Money? Well, damn, man, this has been great. Thank you again for joining us. Glad we got to reflect on some stuff, and you shared the cool story about the PJs. It's very interesting. I do want you to check out that Blade CGI.
I definitely will, man. That's a crazy story. I want to see
it. I gotta look that up too, man. That's wild.
And you know, you guys check out, you know, Flatbush Misdemeanors on Showtime. Great show. I don't lie, I don't hype stuff. Be sure to tweet him, # show love. Appreciate you again, brother.
Thank you guys, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
Growing up the same wins the game.